fight going on there.
Scores! Roll the highlight reel. 6-0 Flames.
You can put it in the wind column.
Yeah, baby, yeah, baby, yeah, baby.
This is Flames Talk with Pat Steinberg and Logan Gordon on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
All right, let's get it going. We are underway on this Tuesday, May 20th. Welcome to another hour of Flames Talk. It's Steinberg and Logan Gordon along with you. Hi, Logo.
Hi, Patrick.
Look at Logo moonlighting on Flames Talk this week.
Hey, buddy.
It's good to have you. I know who you are. That's Wes's. That's Wes's. You can't say that. Welcome to the Sports Drive brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. The moving sale's on now. Save big on safes, smart locks, keypads, and more. Visit Calgary Lock and Safe. .com. We're available on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts, and live right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. And, of course, live right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Good to be back after a small mini hiatus here on Flames Talk, but lots to get to on the program today. And this hour, I wanted to get into a little bit of a conversation about the captain of the Calgary Flames. So the World Championship continues in Sweden and Denmark, and the round robin is now done. This hour, we're checking in with Michael Backlund after Sweden wrapped up their round robin. 5-3 loss to Canada earlier on Tuesday. Rasmus Andersson had a goal in that game. He was the only member of the Flames who had a point in that game. So Sweden finishes 6-1 in the round robin. Canada goes 6-0-1 in the round robin. And those two teams finish in Group A 1-2. Canada 1, Sweden 2. So Backlund is over there and part of the Swedish team playing in Stockholm at home, coming off his second year as captain of the Flames, 15 goals, 32 points in 76 games, and first time in four seasons that Michael did not hit 82 games. Only played the 76 this year because of that injury that he sustained. The prior three seasons, he had hit 82 games, which I know for him was really, really meaningful because it's something that in the early stages of his career, he wasn't able to do, and he wasn't able to hit 82 games all the time. But I know there are some, I don't know, Logo, if you ran into this on the text line or you heard some of these things, but I know I certainly did on the text line for post-game shows, so on and so forth. And there are some suggesting that Backlund's coming off a down season. And yes, I get it. The point totals were down, and his point totals lower than they have been in quite some time. I know that I disagree with that sentiment, that this was a down season from Michael Backlund. I'm curious as to if you saw the same things and kind of where you are on that conversation.
Points-wise, I don't think it was a down season for Michael Backlund. It's kind of consistent with what he's been. Michael Backlund has never really been an offensive catalyst by any means. He's never really been an offensive driver. Even at his best point seasons, I wouldn't have said that Michael Backlund necessarily drove the offense on his line.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not necessarily a bad thing because there are other things that you can add. I think part of the problem a lot of Flames fans maybe ran into, Pat, at least in my opinion, was I think a lot of times captain gets associated with best player on the team, and those expectations can sometimes be unrealistic. I think had Michael Backlund had this kind of season and, say, Mark Giordano was still the captain, or maybe Mackenzie Weegar got the C instead of him and he was simply wearing an A, or maybe, I imagine there's not a world where he wouldn't have a letter on, but say there was, I don't know that there would be that much noise around the season that Michael Backlund had. I really don't. But I do think coming into a Canadian market and wearing the C as one of the seven captains in Canada, I think comes with a certain amount of spotlight that maybe Michael's game doesn't always have or hasn't always had during his Flames tenure.
Right.
Because I think by most accounts, I don't think he had an off year. I think he definitely dealt with and was playing through some injuries. As we talked about, the Four Nations break was a great time for him to rest and recover, and I think we saw a better version of Michael in the second half of the season when he was feeling better. But yeah, I really couldn't sit here and say that I think Michael Backlund was coming off of a down season comparative to what we've seen him at other points during his Flames tenure.
Michael, now 36 years old, turned 36 in March. He's over there representing Sweden as his second time in, it's been First time in a long time, but second time in recent memory that Michael has represented Sweden at the World Championship. Obviously, our Flames Talk fan member Aaron Vickers is over at the World Championship covering it for NHL.com in Sweden and Denmark, and caught up with Michael. This was prior to the 5-3 loss to Canada earlier on Tuesday, but had a chat with Michael Backlund about kind of where things stand in Sweden. And hey, lots to jump into, lots to dive into with the captain of the Calgary Flames. Here he is in conversation with Aaron Vickers.
Always an honor. What does it mean to be able to pull that jersey back on again?
Yeah, no, it feels great. Like you said, it's an honor to play with Team Sweden, and very special to be here. Home ice, of course, and it's always special.
What is home ice advantage like here? I know you were close in Copenhagen. Mama was just over the bridge. This is sort of next level having it in Stockholm.
Yeah, no, it's really cool. Like a 50-minute train ride to my city, or an hour and 10 drive. It's I have people here every night to watch the games, and so like both days off. Last Sunday I went home, so it's really special to be this close to home and have so many people cheering you on, and to play in front of the Swedish wall, as they call it there. It's been great. Atmosphere has been awesome.
What's the ticket situation like for you? Are you cracking open that wallet with hundreds of ticket purchases every game?
It's eight tickets a game. Nine tomorrow. But it's once in a lifetime opportunity to play here so close to hometown. So we were able to, you know, some discounted through the team by eight tickets per game, and been maxing that out with the family and friends and personal coaches and that kind of stuff.
I don't know what the actual attendance capacity is at Avicii, but what's it like standing on that blue line after a game with the anthem going and thousands among thousands of Swedes singing along?
Yeah, I know, it's great. It's an awesome feeling. Battling hard with the boys, and then you get to stand there and sing your national anthem. It's a very proud moment, and it feels great every time.
Was there ever a chance that this wasn't going to happen for you? I know you ran through a bunch of injuries, you missed some time, you were playing hurt. Was there ever a chance that this wasn't going to be happening for you?
Yeah, but I felt, you know, obviously the focus was 100% on just finishing the year, making playoffs, and once that didn't happen, down that stretch, I was feeling almost 100%, and I was feeling good, playing well. And once season was over, I was devastated and almost a little depressed there for a week or so. But after that, it was time to shift gears to Worlds, and I felt healthy enough. And unfortunately, I had a little setback that day, but got a couple days of rest here, and hopefully, I'll feel better again.
What's Rasmus Andersson, the captain, like?
Nah, he's been himself. A little more responsibility for once. I'm always the one organizing things in Calgary, so he gets to do a few more of those things now here in Sports Team Sweden. And he always plays a little bit of an edge, and he has that swagger to him, and he's been using that here in Sweden. And he's been himself, and it's been a good fit. I'm really happy for him. He get to play his four world championships too. It's been really special for him, and really cool for him. I mean, first world championships at home being captain, it's not everyone get to do that, so very special.
Any chirps back and forth, whether him to you or you to him? I mean, you are his captain back in Calgary.
I'm just happy for him and support him. And then no, I did chirp, and the bus left without me one day, and I was said it was the last time I was going to hold the bus for you. So I thought we were closer than that. I thought he would have my back, but yeah, he left without me, and I'll remember that forever.
When did you first think maybe that this is a guy that could be a captain and this could be a leader of a team?
After a few years settling into NHL and playing in Calgary, he matured and got more and more just mature on and off the ice, and he's always been a vocal guy. He's loved chirping guys and loved just being with the guys and talking lots. But more and more, he started speaking in the room too during games, and that kind of sort of side of the game, not just chirping guys or having a good time. He was being more and more a leader in the room, and we saw the growth, and we decided to it was time for him to get the A there in Calgary, and he's done a great job for us, been a good leader on off the ice, and yeah, he's well deserved to have it now for Sweden.
That is Michael Backlund in conversation with our Flames Talk fan member Aaron Vickers over at the World Championship a little earlier over the weekend, actually. So Michael Backlund, Rasmus Andersson representing Sweden. Their team goes 6-1 through the round robin, and they'll finish number 2 in Group A. Their one loss came on Tuesday, and it comes 5-3 at the hands of Team Canada, who finished 6-0-1, and they finish on top of Group A. So, you know, before we heard from him, we were talking about kind of that there was definitely a sentiment out there about how, hey, you know, Michael had maybe a bit of a down season in his second year as captain. A text comes in from Steve, says, oh, Steinberg doing a segment on Backlund, unheard of.
Mm.
And look, I'm fully aware that I have I fall prey to the Backlund bias. Like obviously that's been an ongoing joke at this radio station.
Yeah, it's a joke for sure.
Sorry, that's been an ongoing theme at this radio station. 15 goals. So that's the second straight year he's hit 15 goals. Yes, the 32 points. Lowest total he's had in a full-ish season in around 10 years. But we're still talking, and this is the area that I really do push back on a little bit, because we are talking about a guy who remains, Logo, the best two-way driver on this team. And for him at 35 and 36 to still be this team's best two-way driver, I think that needs to be underlined a little bit. And it really wasn't close this year. This year, he had one of the lowest offensive zone start ratios on the team. Only Ryan Lomberg and Kevin Rooney started more ratio-wise in terms of defensive zone versus offensive zone. He led the team and I believe finished number 1 in the NHL when it came to defensive zone faceoffs when it was done, all said and done. 38.2% was his offensive zone start ratio compared to defense to ozone starts. And yet, despite starting a ton of shifts in the defensive zone and despite going up against the top competition on the other side on a nightly basis, still finished over 52% when it came to high-danger chances at natural stat trick. He was on ice at 5-on-5 for 201 high-danger chances, 4 against 183 against, one of the best ratios on the Flames. Goals for and against, 35-29, so he was plus 6 at 5-on-5, had a 52.9% shot rate. So he was well in the black in all of these output categories, despite the tough competition and being in the red when it came to ozone starts and getting buried defensively and as frequently defensively as he was. That is the definition of a two-way driver. That is the definition of a guy who sets his team up from a difficult situation to a better situation. And with him and Blake Coleman as a duo, and I know they didn't play all season together, and they got broken up there for 10 or 15 games or whatever it was, but by and large, the duo of Michael Backlund and Blake Coleman was a pretty big constant throughout the season. Those two guys together, even more of an elite two-way driving pair. And just one other thing to really underline how important Michael Backlund remains on this team. Go take a look, and I won't bore you with all the numbers, but go take a look if you're interested at the Wowie numbers or the with or without you numbers from Matt Coronato when he was playing with Michael Backlund. The player that Matt Coronato played the most minutes with 5-on-5 this year was Backlund, and the numbers with Michael Backlund are at one level and a pretty good level, and without him, those 5-on-5 outputs way lower. Trust me, the with Backlund and Coleman, without Backlund and Coleman, or with Backlund, without Backlund, another example. Yeah, if I've got the Backlund bias, maybe true, but the Backlund bump, even at the age of 36 and 37, is still a real thing, Logo. And so I just, some of the, and I always get flack for it, and I always get, oh, you'll defend Michael Backlund until the cows come home, and you never are critical of him, so on and so forth. Fact of the matter is, the rumors of Michael Backlund's demise or him no longer being an effective player on this team, I think, are greatly exaggerated and wholly premature, because I think he was as good this season as he's been the last 4, 5, 6 seasons. He just remains one of the most important and effective players on this team, even on the other side of 35 now.
I think you did a really good job of painting the picture numbers-wise and maybe analytically as to why Michael Backlund had a good season. So I guess I would take it in another way. And I guess if anybody's listening live on 960 and wants to chime in and is on the other side of the conversation and maybe thought that Michael Backlund had a down year, I guess my question would be, in what way did Michael Backlund have a down year? Like comparative to expectations, comparative to injury-wise, where did Michael Backlund exactly fall short? Not just, you know, I don't think Michael Backlund was good this year. I guess you can have that opinion, but I'd ask you to back it up in more ways than one. And I also think part of that would be, what were we expecting from Michael Backlund that we didn't get this year, if you're a Calgary Flames fan or observer? I don't really know what I would name, Pat. You told me, okay, go back to season's expectations. Last September, we're running through everything, player by player, expectations. And you know they do these behind closed doors with the Calgary Flames. Craig Conroy and Ryan Huska have those conversations. Okay, when the season's done, did we get this, 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 and this out of a player? I imagine you'd put a check mark pretty close to everything Backlund did.
Yeah.
He's getting older. Yes, he's not the same guy that put up 56 points 2022, 2023. I think he put up 56 points that year. Like, okay, so that's an outlier for his career. Most of the time, he's 30 to 40 point guy. Well, he was also playing through injury this year.
For a large swath of the season. Like, I'm talking months, exactly. Michael was playing through something.
And I'm sorry, if you were expecting Michael Backlund this season to be the offensive catalyst or the offensive driver, then I don't think you've watched very much of his Calgary Flames tenure. Because again, this isn't a knock on him, Pat. That's just not his game, right? That doesn't mean he doesn't have positive influence on guys like Matt Coronato. Backlund, Coleman have very often been the soft landing spot for new players or guys that need a boost in the lineup, whatever it is. You know, Jonathan Huberdeau was there for a while when he was trying to figure his way out in Calgary. Like, we've seen those things happen before. So again, as far as what the expectations were for Michael Backlund, like realistic expectations were, I'm not sure he missed the mark in many categories other than, like you said, he has an expectation of himself to play as many games as he possibly can in the season for the team, and he came up slightly short, and he probably could have been even shorter than that, but he understood his team at some points of the season were pretty thin down the middle and couldn't really miss his presence there. So
yeah.
I'm not sure he missed the mark in many ways for me.
And I mean, it's a little concerning that the two best centers on the team this year are 34, soon to be 35, and Nazem Kadri, and 36 and 37 at the end of next year, Michael Backlund. Like, that remains a very concerning thing, but they were unquestionably the two best centers on the team.
Yeah,
this
and
year.
That's not Backlund's fault or Kadri's fault.
No, they
so
can't
what,
help.
What are they supposed to do about that? Oh, the centers are aging and are eventually not going to be as effective as they once were.
Oh, would you like me to be bad?
Yeah, okay. So, sorry. My apologies. I'll make sure to go and make that trade. I'm not.
I mean, Nazem Kadri, at the ages of 33 and 34, has put up the second best statistical season of his NHL career last season, and this season set a new career high with 35 goals. I mean,
do you remember the last time... he was putting up those kind of goal numbers, Pat. He was in Toronto. It's been a long time since he was in the Maple Leafs organization. Now, they haven't had many playoff wins since that, ironically, but you know, like, it's not like Kadri was a Leaf 2 years ago and he suddenly, like, it's been a long time since this guy was a Maple Leaf and he's doing things that he hasn't done since he was a young kid in that organization. I don't know what the overarching point of this team needs to get better and younger and have some options down the middle in the future doesn't
change.
No, and that doesn't fall on Michael or Nazem.
No, it falls on the organization.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So their performances in my mind aren't in any way clouded by that fact.
I think if you can get 10 to 15 goals and 30 to 40 points again from Michael Backlund next year, and get the same two-way play you got from him this year and do it just like you had this past season, I think you'll be laughing as he wraps up this two-year contract extension. And then the real question or the most fascinating question of all enters the equation, and that is right now, Michael Backlund's 154 games away from setting a new franchise record for games played. He's at 1,066 right now, and he needs 154 to get to 1,220, which would put him one ahead of Jerome Iginla for the all-time franchise lead. And for that to happen, he needs to sign another contract. He will be entering the final year of his contract this year. But here's what I would say about that. I do not think that you sign Michael Backlund for the sole, like, you're not doing an Ovechkin with him, right? Well, you don't. And it's not like the Capitals signed Ovechkin or kept Ovechkin around just so he could. He's still a pretty important player. But I don't think you're signing Michael Backlund for the sole reason of him getting to the all-time
games
play record.
It's not a pity contract.
No. But if he has another season like he just had, yeah, I'd sign him to another one-year deal. Especially, it's not like we're talking about a team that is just loaded with depth down the middle. He might still be one of your best centers in a year's time at the age of 37 when his contract comes to an end. If he has another season this year, similar to the great season he had this past year, and I really do think he had a really strong season, I think you absolutely... What's wrong with having a guy finish his career in one jersey? What's wrong with having Michael Backlund be a Flame for life? With all this guy has done in the community, for all this guy has done to make Calgary and Southern Alberta a better place, and for all he's given the organization. Yeah, again, if he ends up passing Jerome Iginla because he can still play and he wants to be a Flame for life, I'm all for it. You're not going out of your way to do it necessarily, but if that ends up being the byproduct of him signing another deal and being or remaining a really effective and crucial part of this team's success, then I'm all for it. And I think there's a good chance that we could see just that happen.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe he was the top performer from fitness testing.
Yeah, it seems like that's the case every year.
Yeah,
right?
Well, and that's only more impressive as younger and better athletes enter the organization and you get older, but still find yourself on top of a pretty good list of people athletically.
Yeah.
So to further your point of whether or not you think he can maintain a similar level for another two seasons of the NHL, I'd say winning fitness testing this year is a pretty good indication that, and I imagine after another summer, I mean, I would be stunned if he wasn't in the conversation when we get back to training camp in a couple months' time here in the fall.
Some text at 960-960. Jesse in Edmonton. Love Backlund and have always been a supporter, but how long until they move on from him and go in a different direction? Is captain-wise in the NHL, I'd say he generates the lowest points. Place him in any other market, and could he be successful as a captain? He does seem to get the home team discount, as he's always worn a Flames jersey, but I feel they need to move towards a new direction. I mean, if he's still a good player, why wouldn't you bring him back?
Why does your captain have to be the highest point getter on the team?
And on top of that, weren't we all raving and weren't players raving about the new culture this year and how things have changed?
Yeah, but a captain wouldn't play into that.
Captain has nothing to do with that.
What are you talking about?
That's a fair point by you. Look, and again,
I'm
not suggesting that you're keeping a player just to keep him. I'm suggesting that if he continues to be a really important player on your team like he was this year, and he does it again this year going into unrestricted free agency, why wouldn't you bring him back on another contract if he's willing to do it at another cap-friendly number like he's on right now? JP in Calgary says, Backlund was a solid 3C, should be 4C this year if the Flames find a number one. Name two centers that were better than Michael this year. Morgan Frost, Connor Zeri, Kevin Rooney, these guys weren't more important or effective than Michael Backlund was this year. The guy led the NHL with 769 defensive zone faceoffs. Ahead of Nico Hischier, Jordan Staal, Adam Lowry, those type of play, Dylan Larkin. 769 defensive zone faceoffs this year for Michael Backlund. I'm sorry, that guy was not the number three center this year. He was clearly the number two.
In a world where I think in this fall, like, do I think there's a world where he's the three center if Morgan Frost has a really good training camp? Sure, but this year in the sample size that we got from Morgan Frost in Calgary, you can't tell me that Morgan Frost, since he got to Calgary, was a better center than Michael Backlund was, because he wasn't.
Nick and Salmon Arm says, Backlund's always great in the two-way game. His offensive game is not strong on a team that can't seem to score. He's never been a truly offensive guy. My concern is him taking the spot of emerging talent or prospects.
Again, what center prospect is he blocking right
who
now?
Who is he blocking right now in this organization?
Tell me who. Oh, wait. There's no one. There's no one. And they're not. This organization isn't, and Craig Conroy is not here for just good feelings and vibes. Oh, Michael Backlund's here because he's good. No, Michael Backlund's here because he contributes. It's not a, I don't understand where this idea that Michael Backlund's here on some sort of pity clause because he's been a Flame for a long time or was drafted by the organization. He's a big member of the team. Yeah. Like, he's not, I don't know how else to tell people that. Like, he's not just here as a, like a joke thing. Oh, he's been a Flame forever. It's just not how it is.
Kevin and Carstairs, I don't want people to forget the value the Flames captain brings in leadership to those around him within the community and how he's helped grow and mentor the young players coming up. He's a role player and plays his role extremely well, in my opinion. Steve says, who thinks Backlund had a down year? He's a captain that, to a man, every player praised the culture. He led a team that was universally predicted to finish bottom five to 1 point away from the playoffs, and he's a shutdown center.
And just for the record, my opinion, and you can disagree with this if you want, you, me, anybody listening to this right now that's not in that locker room can't say blank about leadership.
Very true.
If you're not in that locker room, do not tell me you think Michael Backlund is a good or bad leader, because you don't know. You don't have a clue.
It's
I'm not here to tell you. I'm not going
to
tell you he was a good leader or a bad leader. I don't know, and I'll never know. I take the cues from the people that say it.
It's one of the room. It's one of the things on the postgame show when somebody calls and says, Ryan Huska doesn't like, he does, like he's not getting the most out of these players. They don't respond to him. Like, how the hell do you know? Like, well, I can just tell by the way, look at the way he paces on the bench. Like, what are you talking about? The same as Michael Backlund's not a good captain. He doesn't have the respect of his team. What on earth are you talking about? Whether that's true or not, how would you know?
You can't. From the outside, I do not believe there's a chance in hell you know.
Finally, Tyson says, I'd like to see the Jamie Benn philosophy with Backlund. Keep his leadership around and slowly decrease his responsibilities as the proper pieces progress. 1,000%. That is a great way of putting it. And Jamie Benn and Michael, of course, former members, former teammates on that that wagon Kelowna Rockets team from about 15 years ago as well. But Tyson, I think that's a really, really good way of putting it. Hey, look, again, I'm not sitting here and saying that the Flames should just go out of their way to keep Michael around until he decides he's done. I'm saying Michael Backlund was one of the four or five most important players on the team this year. And I don't, like, we're talking Huberdeau, Kadri, Uyghur, Wolf. And then, like, you're probably at Coronado and Backlund and Coleman right there next. That's how important Backlund was on this team this year. Honestly, he had himself another Michael Backlund-esque season where he was the best two-way driver on the team. Steinberg, Logo along with you this hour on Flames Talk. We're coming at you from our Groundworks downtown studio on this Tuesday afternoon. Thanks for being along with us. Can't find the latest episodes of your favorite HGTV Discovery and Food Network shows? Rogers Xfinity TV has the newest seasons of the top-rated shows on these popular channels, while other providers are no longer including them in their TV lineup. If your TV provider doesn't carry these channels, you're missing out on new seasons of Celebrity IOU, Hometown, Beat Bobby Flay, Expedition X, and more. Don't be fooled by other channels pretending to be these networks you know and love. Get the latest with Rogers Xfinity TV at Rogers.com.
Talking your team right now. Flames Talk is on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Steinberg and Logo, as this hour rolls on, It's our first show since the season came to an end and the second round came to an end for the Toronto Maple Leafs. The second round of the playoffs ended Sunday with just the wimpiest of whimpers.
Just a thud.
From the Toronto Maple Leafs. And honestly, I won't lie. Look, I know we're out west and the Maple Leafs, you know, cheering for the Maple Leafs is a swear word. I get it. But I kind of like new stories. I kind of like when things don't go like I never cared about the Washington Capitals. I didn't care about their inability to get past the Penguins. I wasn't rooting for them to win the Stanley Cup in 2018, but it was still cool to see something different, to see Ovechkin get over, to see Carlson get his, to see Backstrom get his. It's like, you know, it's cool when something different happens. And so I thought maybe something different was happening through the first round and Toronto figuring it out and not letting the adversity buckle them against Ottawa to taking a 2-0 series lead on Florida and then sacking up. And I thought playing like that game six win, I came away from game six on the road in Sunrise 0-0 through 50 minutes. And then they finally score to make it 1-0 and they close out the two rip victory. I was like, man, I didn't think the Maple Leafs had it in them. And I was feeling good about Toronto going into game seven at home. And then they did what they did. And so it was kind of disappointing to see the same thing happen again. And look, I'm not sitting here saying don't laugh at their misery. I'm not. But it would be nice if, like, I like Mitch Marner. I like William Nylander.
Me and Shane talked about that last week. Like, they're not a totally dislikable bunch.
I like John Tavares.
Chris Tanev.
I love Chris Tanev. I think the Stolarz Wall story has been good. And then, so I was a little disappointed. It's like, yeah, Florida, whatever. Like, we get it. You go to the Stanley Cup final. Matthew Tkachuk, yeah, we get it. Used to play here. Blah, 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 blah. It would have been nice to see them win, and instead they just absolutely get pumped on home ice in game seven. Like, that was just gross.
Yeah, I think you might still see your breath of fresh air, Pat, with either the Dallas Stars or the Carolina Hurricanes. Like, I think those are two very good teams that could save us from a bit of the monotony the last couple of years of the Florida Panthers and the Edmonton Oilers. So I think your winds of change might come that way. But as far as the Leafs go, I mean, like, the stunning thing is for these guys, like, you'd think you'd have some pent-up frustration for the, what, 7 years that this has happened. I really count it since John Tavares came back, that was kind of their move and their window being here.
Yep.
Like, they've had 7 years now of a lot of pent-up frustration of this never going their way. And to just go out with such a whimper is just so disappointing in so many ways. And, like, the Leafs could have lost that game and still felt the filled the narrative of we never get it done when it's important and we choke all the time. But to choke like that, when you didn't even put up a fight, game five and game seven, specifically at home.
On home ice, yeah.
For you to do nothing. The Panthers ran your show. Brad Marchand is now in the history books because no one guy has ever had that much playoff success against another team in his career that it's embarrassing. That, to me, is the story out of that is the Leafs going out. Okay, yeah, you could totally sell me on that. But the Leafs going out without a shadow of a pushback? Like, okay, you had Mitch yelling at the bench. Okay, Mitch, what have you done today?
It was three rip at that point.
Exactly. What have you done today? Get Matt, and I know, like, I'm not saying that Austin Matthews is going to win a fight with Matthew Tkachuk, but, man, David Pastrnak got pissed off last year and was like, I'm so sick of hearing you talk, man. I'm just going to fight you. Like, I'm just going to go off the bench and fight you. I'm not saying the Leafs have to do that, but show me you care. Show me that you're sick of this. And you guys just took it in the teeth, and you let the bully without a fight.
Yeah.
You let him pushed you down and just take again. You around like you didn't even care.
This was Mitch Marner on his future as the Leafs cleaned out their lockers on Tuesday. He's a pending unrestricted free agent.
Always loved my time here. I've loved being here. Like I said to you guys the other night, I've been so grateful. And, you know, I haven't processed anything yet. It's still so fresh and losing sucks.
Yeah, losing does suck. We get all that. But he did not come out and say he wants to remain in Toronto. You know, I was thinking about this, and at first I was like, you know what, maybe Toronto, like, because there's a lot of people, a lot of Maple Leafs fans who are just more than happy to drive Mitch to the airport. And I get it. He's the unrestricted free agent. He's the guy that has been invisible in playoffs past, although I do think that that narrative changed a little bit this year. We're still talking about a point-per-game guy, 13 points in 13 playoff games. He scored some big goals throughout this postseason. I do think the narrative changed a little bit. Not completely, but a little bit.
He could be a four-time 100-point guy.
102 points this year in the regular season.
He's been in the 90s three other times.
Yeah.
Including 99. Those guys don't grow on trees.
And so I was thinking to myself, like, be careful what you wish for, or do they need what happened in Florida? Like, are the Panthers, and you're not going to make a blockbuster trade the same way because Marner and Tavares are both UFA, but do you need a change like what we saw in Florida three summers ago? Like, look, it hurts because this market is the one that helped them. But they said goodbye to Huberdeau, and they felt that they needed a guy like Tkachuk. And all they've done since that trade is make the Stanley Cup final. They're back at a friggin' Eastern Conference final again. This team has gotten to the third round every year since making that trade, and Bill Armstrong felt like they needed to do something like that. I wonder if Tree needs to do something similar in Toronto.
You know what the problem is, I think, for Toronto in that instance, Pat? I think the boat's passed on their time to do that. Florida did it, and they were still able to have Sasha Barkov in his prime and surround the new group with assets on the outside. You know what I mean? Like, Austin Matthews just got a big contract extension. The D still has to be fixed. So you're going to move Marner out and try to bring something else in. Well, Tavares isn't Tavares from 5 years ago. He's still a good player, don't get me wrong. He's still valuable, but I think that the timing's off to do that. Like, when that Florida pulled the trigger on that trade, they still had so much to work with. I don't know if it's too little too late for the Leafs in that sense.
I kind of wonder if just letting Mitch walk, and maybe Tavares as well, naturally does that. Gives him the ability to maybe go make a blockbuster trade. Big splash in free agent, whether it's Sam Bennett or somebody else. I don't know. I've been thinking about that because of the team that's beat them the last 2 years, because of what the Panthers did. I just wonder. Quickly, because we can still do this. Who do you have in the conference finals?
Stars and the Panthers.
I really want to pick Carolina. I'm such a huge fan of what Rod Brind'Amour has built, the way they play. I feel like Carolina is one of the perfect examples of what I believe is modern NHL hockey. I think Carolina plays a better game than Florida does. I think Carolina is a better structured team than the Panthers are, but the Panthers have better players.
And nobody wants Rantanen versus Carolina more than I do.
Oh, man, that would be awesome.
Oh, but can you imagine, like, Stankoven and Rantanen on the opening face-off of Game 1?
Awesome.
And then just the pan up to Eric Tulsky? I'd love it. I just don't think it's going to happen.
I think it's going to be... I think Dallas, Florida is what we're looking at. I think Edmonton is playing some outstanding hockey. I can't take that away from them. I just think the Stars are a different level than the Stars team that they faced in the Final Four last year.
Mikko Harley's taking a huge step.
And they did so much of this without Haskinen, and now he's back, and he's only going to get better. Robertson's only going to keep getting better. Plus, you've got Rantanen, who's just at another level. Ottinger's playing at his level. Harley, as you mentioned, has taken a step. Duchesne's been great.
They didn't even miss Haskinen because Harley was so good.
Yeah.
Hinton, he showed up for Canada, Four Nations, and everyone was like, Thomas Harley? And then we were like, Thomas Harley, baby. Yeah. Now they got two studs back there. That's ridiculous.
I think it'll be a long series, but I've got Dallas and Florida as well. I really do. As much as I want to see Dallas, Carolina, I think it's going to be Dallas, Florida. That'll wrap us up on this hour of Flamestock. Logan's on Twitter at Fan960Logan. My name is Pat Steinberg. Thanks to Cam Hughes, our outstanding producer this hour. And that'll wrap us up on the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. The moving sale's on now. Save big on safes, smart locks, keypads, and more. Visit CalgaryLockAndSafe.com.